Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 3, if you will. Philippians chapter 3. Kathy and I watched a series of shows about a family that raised their boys and they were missionaries in Papua. It used to be Papua New Guinea, and now it is just Papua, Indonesia. And they raised their boys in the rugged island, very steep mountains, hard situation. And when the oldest son was grown up, ready to go off to college, Dad decided, the parents were Mike and Libby Wolf, and Dad decided to fulfill a dream that he'd had and build a boat that would go across the Pacific Ocean. And so they recruited help from the tribal people on the island, and they cut down trees. The only machinery that they had was a long barred steel chainsaw. That was the only power instrument they had. And they cut down trees, made big timbers. They learned how to bend big timbers to make the bow of the ship. And they built this thing, and it was a catamaran. So it had two big hulls, and they built a cabin on top, and they built inside the hulls, the kitchens and so on, and quite a bit of work. And so they were going to sail up to Hawaii and then go across to the United States. I forget where they were going to land. But this was all set out. I mean, they had worked on this for a long time, getting it ready for when the oldest was Morgan, and he was going to go off to college, and they were going to give him quite a send-off and go across the ocean in a boat. Except when it came time for them to sail, they practiced a little bit around the island, and they were in territorial waters for Indonesia, and then they had to have permits to get out of from under that authority and sail. And they didn't have the permits. The government wouldn't give them the permits to sail. And so that boat got docked and over time deteriorated a little bit. But Mike was disappointed because he wanted to do something very few people would ever want to do. Sail in a small, I think it was something like 40 feet long. I mean, you'd think about a cruiser going across the ocean, no big deal, but a 40-foot boat, that would be an undertaking. But he wanted to do something other people wouldn't want to do. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3 that he wants people to follow him and do what was happening to him, what was working on the inside, what his desires were. And he wished that every Christian would identify with what he writes here in Philippians chapter 3. I'm starting back at verse 10 when he says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take the same view of things. And if on some point you think differently, That too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Father, as we come to your word, we know that it's a time of worship. It's a time of hearing and being prompted by your Spirit in our hearts, our thoughts, and to respond to you with obedience. So I pray that our minds might be alert. We might be drawn to you by your Spirit, be able to delve into your word and mine those riches that you have for us. Please accomplish this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when we read that, you could get the sense that Paul had something that he was pressing forward for. But he stated that his goal in life and meant for it to inspire others. He stated his goal and meant for that to be caught by us and lived out. What was his goal? Verse 10. I want to know Christ. Just those two words would state his goal for his life. To know Christ. And if you were asked, do you know Christ? But you might be thinking, are you asking if I've asked Jesus to be my Savior? Yes, I know Christ that way. I know Jesus. What Paul was speaking of here, he was a believer, of course. He was an apostle. But pressing on to know Christ in a relationship, have that close-knit fellowship with Christ. Your salvation has a beginning and an end. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, just a page back or so, in verse 6, that he is confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Our salvation does have a beginning. When we receive Jesus into our lives, into our hearts, and we recognize that he died for our sins, he purifies us when we receive him. Sometimes we need to back up that receiving Jesus a little bit. John chapter 1 and verse 12 tells us that as many as received him, to them he gave the right, the authority to be called children of God, even to those that believe on his name. And so when I speak of receiving Christ, it's that who he is, what he's done, and the work on the cross and resurrection. I believe that. And I believe he did it for me. He did it for you. And when you received him, that's the beginning, your salvation. But it also has an end. And that end is to be with the Lord. Paul says, God called me heavenward in Christ. And so during this time, we have a relationship that has begun when we receive Christ, but it's to grow. It's to be progressive. A relationship that we have with people, husbands and wives. No, the person that you married isn't the same one that you married however many years ago. There's been changes that take place. That's one of the things I counsel young people, younger than me, people when they get married. Is there something that you especially are drawn to in this person that you intend to marry? And they name a few things. I said, how about if in 7 or 8 years, that's not there anymore? Because the wife you are marrying, the husband you are marrying, they go through periods of life too. And there are things that challenge them, and there's growth challenges, and they grow in an area, and I didn't see that coming. Well, because we do change. We change over time, and that's why this love of marriage partners, why some of them are lasting a long time. Because they've learned that I love the person and not some physical attribute or some intellectual capability or something like that. I love the person. And I'm going to change as they change. So our progressive growth, spiritual growth, is to be the expected experience of every Christian. Because our relationship with Jesus is going to grow too. When you accepted him as your Savior, you didn't know, possibly, didn't know very much about him. You're going to be learning of him all your life. An infinite God. And what Paul was expressing in this passage was prompted, as it was a desire prompted by the Holy Spirit, that I want to know Christ. I had a daydream. My eyes were open, I think. It was daytime. And I had a daydream that the Apostle Paul, now he's in confinement. We refer back to that. He is in chains in Rome. There's a soldier next to him, but chained to him. But I pictured him leaning back in his chair and thinking, what have I missed over these years when I was persecuting the church, when I was putting Christians in prison, and I thought Jesus was an imposter. He was a lawbreaker, and I hated him and his people. What did I miss? And so I was daydreaming. I was leaning back in my chair, and I just thought Paul was there too. But Paul could have thought, I'm an apostle born out of due time. I didn't have the experiences that the other apostles had. I didn't see Jesus walking on water. Didn't see it. The other apostles passed out the food as Jesus broke bread and fish, and more than 5,000 people were fed. Another time, 4,000. I wasn't there. Jesus was performing these miracles that I didn't see, like raising Lazarus from the dead. I wasn't there. When Jesus was crucified, John the Apostle was there, along with godly women. He saw Jesus die. I didn't see that. And he rose again. Now, Paul can say, I saw the risen Jesus, because Jesus appeared to him on the Damascus Road. Jesus tutored him in the desert and taught him one-on-one. But all these other things, the Apostle Paul, when he says, I want to know Christ, boy, what have I missed? You know, wherever you are in your Christian life now, you could probably think back, if I'd have received Christ earlier, what would life have been like? We could do the what if, but we are where we are right now, and that's where the Apostle Paul takes off on this. And when he says that I want to know Christ, he wanted to be tied into Jesus. He wanted to be identified with Jesus so closely that the Lord would live through him. I know that because he said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Whatever our condition now, we can quote that back also. We can say, I am crucified with Christ. My life is so intertwined in the life of Christ. And I've been identified with him in his death. And yet now I live. There are people that attended the same school as I did years ago. It was a Bible school in Canada called Miller Memorial Bible Institute at that time. It's Miller Bible College now. But we had some teachers that had individual, very unique ways of expressing themselves. And we could tell, or I could tell, when I ran across someone that was speaking in a place, and they went to Miller. How do you suppose I could tell that they went to Miller? Because they used some of the same expressions that a particular teacher used. They paid close attention to that teacher, and they'd even do the same gestures. And they'd do the same things, and they loved the teacher, and that teacher impressed them in such a way that they copied him. To some degree, there was some copying going on. Boy, I wish we could have that with Jesus. That we would be so intent on learning from him, we'd pick up his expressions. We don't know how he gestured except picking up a stick or a branch and saying, you pick out the branch out of your own eye before you pick a speck out of your neighbor's. But we don't really know. Except that Christ wants to live through us, just like he did with Paul. Well, Paul's ambition was to attain what Christ meant for him to have. But he says in verse 12, Philippians 3:12, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect. I haven't obtained it. If there's anybody that we would point to and say, you know, he's maybe that close to being perfect. Well, Paul was a human. We know he would make mistakes just like everybody else. But he was not perfect. And the word for perfect is one that we need to take note of. And it means, and it's used for the ultimate completion. That if you are climbing a ladder, you can go no higher. There's an end to it. A perfection. You've done all that there is possible to do. And so he says, I haven't obtained all this or have already been made perfect. No, I can still grow. That's amazing for the apostles to come across that way, that I'm telling you this because I have room to grow too. We're still growing spiritually. And so there was something he could do and what he was doing. He says in verse 12, but I press on. I press on. Did any of you run distance when you were younger? Maybe you run distance now. Our younger daughter's father-in-law still runs distance. And was it a triathlon or iron triathlon that he represented the United States in the senior division in Europe somewhere? Switzerland? And so he was running. And he's three years older than me. He's really old. But he's running. But if you run distance, you know there's something that happens after a period of time. Different for different people. Have you run distance and run into the wall? It's not a literal wall, is it? But it's one you think, if I'm going to give up, now's the time. Because you don't know if you are going to get through that and be able to get your second wind or whatever you want to call it. But Paul says, I want to press on. And it's that idea of not giving up, of pushing through and keeping on going. And then he says, I press on in order to take hold. Take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. We have two words. It's a single word in the Greek. To take hold is to take eagerly, is our definition of it. To take it, not only, I had another picture. Some of you may have run in track and run in a relay. And one of the things that running a relay involves is passing the baton. And when I was a kid, we'd put our hand back, and the person coming up to us would slap the baton into our hand, get a hold of it, and run. And that's kind of my picture of this for Paul, that I took a hold of it, and I'm running. I'm running the race. And I took it eagerly. I didn't hold a fist back there like I didn't want it, but it was coming. God had a purpose for me, and I took it, and I'm running. I'm running the race. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he talks like that he's running the race for Christ. And you know, each of us has a purpose. If God has saved you, he has a purpose for you too. And if we can take a hold of life that is really life, take it eagerly. You have to let go of something if you're going to catch the baton. But take a hold of life that God has for you. Some things oppress us, and we think we might be disqualified. But there's something that Paul says next. This one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. Forgetting. And that's not of, oh, I forgot. I just forgot it. It's, I intend to put that out of my mind, not consider it as something that controls me any longer. My decisions, my life from this point on, aren't going to be influenced by my past. I'm going to forget that. Who brings it up to you then? Satan does, doesn't he? He says, look at what you did 20 years ago. You're living with that because that's who you really are. And Paul said, and the Lord says to us, forget it. Don't let it control you. Press on. And that's what he says next. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal. There is a goal, a prize, an inheritance which God will reward to each of us. And we can press on to receive that. And there is to be agreement concerning these things. All of us who are mature, verse 15, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, don't argue with me. This is what God said. Oh, that wasn't in here. And if some point you may think differently, that too God will make clear to you. The spiritually mature person will not distort our calling. I'd like to turn back to chapter 2 and verses 1 and 4. All of us who are mature should have this mind. Verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. The true ambition of every Christian in following the Lord Jesus is the ambition that unites us as well. Being united with Christ, having the fellowship with the Spirit. This involves individual believers, and it's spoken to the corporate church, not corporation, but all the believers, the universal church together. And Paul was confident that his ambition and his pursuit of Christ was worthy of the church. There's a verse that you could memorize. It's 1 Corinthians 11:1. 6 words. Let's learn it together. Let's say it together. Follow me as I follow Christ. And that was spoken by the Apostle Paul. But follow me. Take the Apostle's word, which is the word of God, written by the Apostle who is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Paul said, I haven't arrived yet. I haven't attained it. But my ambition, I would pass on to you. Follow me or follow with me as I follow Christ. That I want to know him. But in chapter 3 and verse 15, he didn't condemn anyone who saw a Christian living differently. He's probably wondering how you would think of it differently. But I'm not going to think that all of us always think the same. I'll leave it up to God. God will make it clear. Every Christian is encouraged to press on. Don't give up. We vote on Tuesday. What's the outcome of the vote? Don't know yet, do we? What are we called to do no matter what the outcome is? Press on. Press on. Live for Christ. Put him first. The Lord knew everything about you and saved you when you believed. Nothing you do now will take him by surprise. He knows what we're made of. He loves us from the beginning to the end. And then we will be with him in glory. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ. And it's not too late to put your trust in Christ. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus stayed on the cross. You know, there were men standing around him and saying, get down. You say you're the Son of God? Get down. Prove it. No, he stayed on the cross. Till his blood poured out. And the soldiers came around and said, hey, he's already dead. Pierced his side with the spear. And blood and water flowed out. John saw that. The Apostle John. And in doing that, he died to pay the penalty for your sin and mine. The Bible tells us God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. I would invite you today to turn your life to Jesus, to invite him to come in to your heart, your central being, and guide you, save you, cleanse you from sin, reconcile you to God. And if you'd like to do that, we're going to sing a last song. But when we close the service, if you'd like to come up and pray, invite you to do that. So let's pray now. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you gave us your Son. And not just as a sacrifice, but as the ultimate leader in our life. Lord, I thank you for your word. May it continue to speak to our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.